Hey everyone, I'm Corey Russell.
I'm Billy Humphrey.
And this is Gripped, Awakening the Grown in a Generation for Revival and the Return of the Lord. And my goodness, we're going in this season, man. We're going in the ministry of the Spirit.
Yes.
And guys, we're in session four here, and we are delving in to the person of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh. And we just want to shine all things on him in this season, because I believe we have focused on everyone, and yet he is our source in our life to bring us into deeper into the Father and into the Son.
That's right.
We spent a couple of sessions on 2 Corinthians 3. And guys, I would encourage you, keep going back, listening to these sessions, walking through these passages, and go on your journey of learning how to behold the glory of the Lord and commune in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We want to take you now to John 14.
Yes.
That's really what we want to do. At the end of the day, that's why we're doing this podcast, is we want to give you real Bible to help your life, to help grow in your life of God, instead of just excite you for 20 more minutes.
Yeah, that's not it.
We want to equip you in the Word.
Absolutely.
To go in deeper. Go with me to John 14, because we spent last... In our season five, we looked at John 13 through 17.
Yeah.
And one of the hallmarks of this night is Jesus's reoccurring emphasis on the person of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
He keeps shining the light, because what he's doing with these young guys.
Yeah, break this down.
He's comforting, consoling, and inviting them, because they're afraid. They can feel the intensity of this night.
Right.
You know, it's Jesus's last night with them. They can feel him sharing cryptic things about leaving, about dying.
Yeah.
Intensity starting to fill the room.
Yeah, they're feeling sorrowful. He says to them, I recognize sorrow has filled your heart.
Yes.
But then he's going to give them the way forward. And he starts describing, there's things that I've done for you that I'm not going to be doing for you.
Yes.
But Holy Spirit is going to be doing those things for you. And so he's transitioning in a certain way the relationship from them with Jesus with them to them with Jesus by the Spirit.
Ha ha, I love that.
Yeah.
Jesus, I want you to look with me in John 14. And this is really, I'm going to set up some of this, and then we're going to get to specific in the Holy Spirit. At the end of 13, it's Peter's great statement. Jesus, I'm going to lay down my life for your sake. Jesus, I'm going to show you how devoted I am to you. And Jesus goes, no, buddy. You're about to fail me more miserably than anybody in history on the most important night of human history. It's going to be a rough revelation of your inability to follow me into the next season in your own strength. And Jesus is going to now bring us in, and what he's doing, he's going to say, let not your heart be troubled.
Yes.
Some of you, your hearts are weighed down. Your hearts are filled with sorrow. Your hearts are filled with trouble as you're looking to your own resource to walk out what God's called you to walk out.
Yeah.
And
this is so important. I'm sorry.
No, this is so important, all of our hearts get troubled when the painful revelation of how inept we are.
Yes, that's it.
And unable to follow Jesus the way he's called us to follow.
All of us are going to come to the end of ourselves at some point in time. And I think even right now, as you're listening to this, I just feel the Lord so on this point.
I do too.
That Peter came to the end of his ability. Some of you are sitting there, you're sitting in the moment, and you've got ashes around you because you're at the end of your ability.
Yes.
And you don't know what to do. You're offended with yourself. You're offended with God that he would lead you to something that you failed at. And right now, God is reaching to you, and he's trying to give you the way forward, and he's trying to tell you it's not in your own strength.
That's right.
Man, I so sense that right now, even as you're just sharing all that.
Yes, I'm feeling it, because I think this is the revelation to access and to receive the life and the ministry of the Spirit.
Yeah.
There is a blessed are the poor. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who come to the end.
Yeah, that's it.
And so he says this, he's going to say, guys, in my Father's house, he goes, I need you to believe in me and my ability to bring you where you can't go. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And they're going to continue on. And what Jesus is doing, he goes, I'm going to secure you in love. I'm going to secure you in the Father's house. I'm going to secure you in the Father's heart. And your destiny is secure.
Yes.
And he goes, guys, you know the way that I'm going. And Jesus is going to shift in verse five, Thomas is going to say, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And we don't know the way. And Jesus is going to give us the famous verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus, over the next about, 8-9 verses, I want you to look with me in verse 10. Let's just get right here with this. Well, they're going to ask him, okay? Verse 8, he's going to say this. I want to build it up. He says this. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Now look at this. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father?
Yeah.
And do you not believe the Father's in me? The words I speak, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father, look at this, who dwells in me,
yes,
does the works.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, he's talking about Holy Spirit.
Yes. Jesus is affirming his union with Abba through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now, that's really important. Have you ever thought about the Father who dwells in Jesus? Jesus who dwells in the Father. And Jesus is giving us insight into what he's been walking in.
Yes.
Saying, guys, y'all been watching our relationship. You've been standing outside. It's almost like, you know, window shopping. You can look through the window and see everything that's going on, but this isn't your reality yet.
Not yet, but it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Jesus is going to continue on with his union with the Father, and he's going to say, guys, what you've been seeing with me and Abba is now about to be yours. We're about to bring you in to what we've been living in. And he's going to tell us phrases like, the greater works than these you will do. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And Jesus is letting them know, guys, what you've been watching is what you're about to experience.
I think it's so critical because so often people take that verse 12 and they say, most assuredly, the works that Jesus did, we're going to do those works also, and greater works than these. And they have no like fabric for what that is. There's no context of that. They just like, we're doing greater works. And then they just start spitballing at what the greater works could be. You know, we're going to, you know, I don't know, take over everything. And it's going to be greater than what Jesus did. And they just sort of spitball this thing. What Jesus is describing is this proliferation of believers all walking in communion with the Father, just like he walked in communion with the Father.
Yes.
Greater works in number, greater works in expression, greater works in manifestation across the nations. When you're talking about 100 million believers filled with Holy Spirit operating in communion, just like Jesus was, there's no way it's not greater. And he's describing that whole interior reality of Holy Spirit connecting every individual to the Father by his indwelling in them, just like he was dwelling in him. And this is our reality. Our invitation, our escort into the greater works, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these, our invitation and our escort into those works is operating in fellowship and being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus was. That's just so sticking out to me, how often that verse has been plucked.
Yes.
And it does, it's almost not even in reference to the ministry of the Holy Spirit within that Jesus is laying
out.
It's
the indwelling of the Spirit.
Exactly.
Look at verse 6. Talk to us verse 16.
Yeah, so he says, I'm going to pray the Father. He will give you another helper that he will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And look at verse 18 in context to that. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So here is this transition. He says, right now, it's me and you guys, and this is how we've been operating. But in 1 second, I'm going to go to the Father,
yes,
and I'm going to ask the Father to send you the helper. And I want you to dial in on this word, another.
Yes.
That word, another, it's not any old other. It's not just and something else. It's literally another one just like me. Another one just like me. I'm going to ask the Father to send another one just like me. Who is that? Holy Spirit, the helper. And that word helper, that Greek word paraclete is the Greek word. It's helper, standby, comforter, empowerer, enabler. Let me ask you something. When you're going through your life, do you ever just say, help me, Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Help me right now. So often when my emotions are like askew with what I know God wants from me, I'll just stop and I'll say, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Be the helper on the inside. Conform me to the image of Jesus right now. Be strong in me, Holy Spirit. Speak through me. Transform my mind. Transform my emotions. Help me.
Yeah.
Help me.
Do you know why he's sending a helper, another helper? It's because you need help.
It's so true.
No. Again, I want to keep hitting this over and over and over again in this season. We need help, and we need God help.
Yes.
We need the Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Yes.
We don't need you pulling up your bootstraps. We don't need you trying a little harder. We can't do anything apart from Him. And He is going, I know you need help. That's why the first thing that I'm going to do when I ascend to the Father, I'm going to pray and ask Him to send you another helper,
yes,
that He would be with you and He would be in you.
Yes.
Guys, I need you. That is the ground of growth. If you want to grow in intimacy and in seeing the life flow of the Holy Spirit in your life, you better never graduate from your deep, profound awareness of your need for help. The humble ones are the ones who flow in the life of God.
Yes.
And there's something about humility. You know why humility is so attractive to God? Because God is humble.
Jesus.
The Father is humble. The Son is humble. And friends, look at this. We're talking about Holy Spirit in this season. We're talking about Holy Spirit. He is invisible. And yet His whole life is all about pointing to Jesus.
Yeah.
Pointing to the Father. Bragging on them, moving, living behind the scenes, and just pointing constantly. God is humble. Therefore, the thing that attracts God's activity is humility.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sitting here thinking about pastors and leaders right now, and I believe there's pastors and leaders, you're listening, and you've been doing everything but asking the Holy Spirit to help.
Hmm.
You're trying to build church after some format, after some guy that's got 100 million views on YouTube. You're trying to like make it look like this thing that's working out there, that's drawing the crowd. And what God's inviting you to right now is say, Holy Spirit, help.
Help.
What do you want us to do in our spiritual family? How do you want us to lead? Help, Holy Spirit. Help, show us. Lead us, direct us into the mind of Christ, direct us into the heart of the Father. You're asking for help from every other resource, but you're not asking for help from the helper. Would you just stop? Stop reading all those resources, stop looking at all those how-to videos or whatever it is, and just stop and say, Holy Spirit, help me to build our spiritual family in a way that loves and glorifies Jesus the best, the most, the greatest way. What does that look like? Let your strategy room be inquiry. Quit having your strategy room be all the brainstorming sessions for a minute, and just in your strategy time, inquire of the Lord. That's what David did when an army was besieging him. He inquired, and that's what Holy Spirit is there for you right now. He wants you to inquire, to ask for help. And he wants to direct you in your leadership and in being a shepherd and loving and preaching, proclaiming. He's here to help you.
He says he's going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. I just want to say this just for the record, when we keep going. Holy Spirit is not a Band-Aid or a little roommate until Jesus comes back.
Or a hitchhiker.
Exactly. He's here for a minute. He's not a lot here for a little bit of the ride up the road. Guys, Holy Spirit is with you forever.
Yes.
Even in the age to come, yes. Our primary way of relating with Jesus will be through Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And he has made you his residence. Jesus says he's going to abide with you forever. Forever. For eternity. We will be relating with the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He continues on and he goes this. He says, he calls him the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He's going to dwell with you and we will be in you. What's the Spirit of Truth?
Yeah, hit that, man. The Spirit of Truth. That is such a critical thought, because so often people say, oh, the Holy Spirit's moving.
Yes.
And there's no anchor or root in the Scripture.
Yes.
And it can be bizarre at times. Now, I know he does miracles. I know he does all sorts of manifestations, signs and wonders, things that do make us wonder. But he's not like directing us to be in opposition to the leadership God's placed us with.
No.
He's not directing us to be rebellious. He's not directing us into offense.
That's right.
So often I think people are saying, well, like, you know, the Holy Spirit's moving and, you know, they just won't let us do the thing and you know what? And I'm like, no, that spirit that you're doing right now, he's the Spirit of Truth.
That's right.
And the Scripture doesn't lead us into offense. God directs us out of offense. So the offense that you're experiencing, that's not Holy Spirit. That's something else.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are in unity with one another.
Absolutely.
And the Holy Spirit is going to enforce the Word of God.
Yes.
It's going to impart the Word of God. It's going to direct you into the Word of God.
Yes.
They are in alignment. And I like to think he's the truth teller. He's going to talk honesty to you. He's going to bring you into alignment with the truth of heaven and not your truth. See, we're all about in these days about my truth and about my story and about what I need to do. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And I think it's interesting that he's going to say the world can't receive.
Yeah, the world can't receive the Holy Spirit. And that goes to that 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 1, chapter 2.
Yes.
The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. They can't comprehend the things of the Spirit. They can't receive him because they haven't submitted themselves to Jesus yet. They haven't said yes to Jesus. They don't know the mind of the Spirit. They haven't experienced the new birth. But I'm sitting here thinking about this Spirit of Truth and the Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit.
Yes.
And I want you to catch this. There is a sword that the Holy Spirit wields. And the sword that the Holy Spirit wields is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. So Holy Spirit, when he's coming into a situation, he's like Braveheart wielding a sword. And that sword is the Word. He's applying the power of the Word in every situation, and he's moving in power through the Word to release and manifest the power of God. He's not separate from the Word. He's moving in manifesting the power of the Word. The Word is the sword that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, that he's always wielding.
My goodness. I love this. There's in Ephesians 6, we pretty much have two weapons.
Yeah.
You've got the sword of the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Yes.
It's the engaging of the life of the Spirit. Jesus is calling us, and I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send you the Spirit of Truth. And he says this. He says, he continues on, and he goes, he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
That's so important. Talk about that.
Well, I think the Spirit of Truth is bringing us into a life. The core thing Jesus is hitting on this last night is hitting their fear, hitting the loneliness. An earlier session, I said this. Nothing is going to cure your loneliness. It blows me away. We're the most connected generation ever. yet dealing with the most chronic loneliness. And I believe that the answer for this predominant loneliness that struck this generation is the indwelling spirit.
Yes.
And what Jesus is saying, I'm not going to leave you fatherless.
That's right.
I'm not going to leave you to your own devices, your own wisdom, your own strength. I'm not going to leave you alone in a corner. I will come to you, though I'm coming to you now with the Spirit of the Father. My Spirit, I'm now coming to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And this is going to comfort, console, strengthen, and surround you.
The answer to your orphanhood, to your spiritual orphanhood, is Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Paul called him the Spirit of adoption.
Yes.
You have received the Spirit of adoption, not the spirit of bondage again unto fear. Galatians 4 and Romans 8, he bears these two truths out. Yes. And he says, Spirit, he literally calls him Spirit of adoption. Sometimes I refer to Holy Spirit as Spirit of adoption.
Yes.
I go, Spirit of adoption, connect me with the heart of the Father. Spirit of adoption, I've received you, Spirit of adoption. And I engage in my sonship. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about right here. He goes, you're not going to stay in an orphan mentality. You're not going to stay in orphanhood. I'm not leaving you. I'm not abandoning you. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you by another who is just like me. He's going to be inside you. He's not even going to be just with you. He'll be on the inside of you. And Holy Spirit on the inside of you, Spirit of adoption on the inside of you, he cries out, Abba, Father. When you make that your prayer, Abba, Father, that's Holy Spirit enabling you from the inside to say that with faith and say that with truth.
I like,
and
yes.
That's where you get delivered from fear and isolation and loneliness, is when you begin to step into the truth of your adoption.
That's the Spirit of truth.
By Holy Spirit.
I belong to you, Abba. The Spirit of belonging.
Yes.
That is the Spirit of adoption. Is I belong to God.
Yes.
I am God's child. I am no longer an orphan. I'm no longer outside. I'm your child. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This right here is what you want. And I even feel it right now when you said the word abandonment. Some of you are gripped with this spirit of abandonment. There's a spirit of abandonment that has haunted you, that has tormented you. You've always been like the outsider looking in. And I believe God is breaking that off your life right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
The revelation of the Spirit of adoption. I will no longer leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And I pray right now, Jesus, come right now to every young man, every young woman, and break off abandonment.
Yes.
Break off rejection. Yes. Break off orphanhood. Break off the lies and the accusations and the spirit of rejection. And I pray at the deepest core level, your spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Yes.
Look at this, guys. Going back to this, he set some of you free right there. In John 14, I won't leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then look at this. A little while longer and the world's not going to see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Look at verse 20. At that day, you're going to know three things. The day of the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The day you put your faith in Jesus and he comes. Three things are going to become very clear to you. Number one, Jesus is in the Father. Number two, me and you are in Jesus. And number three, Jesus is in us.
Yes.
That's what the Holy Spirit brings. Jesus' union with Father, my union in Jesus, and Jesus' union with me, which means we've now been brought into the fellowship of the Trinity.
Yes, it's seated in heavenly places.
Yes.
We've been raised from the dead. Now we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And that seating in heavenly places, so often that passage in Ephesians 2, it's used to, you know, teach like authority.
Yes.
Like, we're up in heavenly places. We're over all the principalities. I appreciate that. Amen to that. But it's actually not what the context of that is. He goes, that in the ages to come, he might show you the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness in Christ Jesus. What is that? That is the Father lavishing on you the acceptance of being his child. I want to tell you something. You are more than the wounds that your father has inflicted on you. You are more than the wounds that you've experienced from your mom. You're more than the wounds from a spiritual leader or from a teacher or a coach. You're more than that. You are adopted by God. That is greater than those wounds, that abandonment, that hurt, and that pain. Too often, and I'm not ignoring that pain has taken place, but too often we've exalted our pain to a place and put more faith in our pain and in our trauma than the power of Holy Spirit, who is now on the inside of you, who loves you, who accepts you, is for you, is manifesting the heart of the Father to you, who wants to help you and empower you and enable you and lift you and wash you and cleanse you and encourage you and comfort you. Holy Spirit is here to deliver you, to set you free, that you would be lifted out of orphanhood. You don't have a spirit of bondage or a spirit of fear. You are no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ Jesus. This is what Holy Spirit has come to give you, is that you are adopted, you are chosen, you are selected, you are loved, you are embraced, you are cared for by God Himself. The Father Himself loves you, and Holy Spirit is the one who wants to communicate that to your spirit. He wants you to know that you're beloved, just like Jesus is beloved.
That's right. God, I pray that you would seal this and that you would release the spirit of adoption. Touch us all, I pray, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Gripped. We pray this episode blessed you. If so, feel free to subscribe and leave a good rating. You can watch this episode and more on our YouTube channel, Gripped Podcast, and feel free to follow us on Instagram @TheGrippedPodcast. Bless you.